Hello, I'm Jay Cribb, and I'm co-chair of Project 2016-02. And my task is, particularly if you are new to SIP or what has gone on before, is to take us from our SAR to all that we've been doing today in about 10 minutes. The majority of our webinar today is a deeper dive into the progress made since our last posting. So I'm doing a 50,000-foot overview of all we've been doing in this version across all the drafts. Now, 2016-02 began life to address FERC Order 822, which had three directives for three issues. Address an issue with the LURC definition and requirements. That one had a 12-month filing deadline. We were to add TCA and removable media requirements for Lowe's, and we did that. And we were to protect communications between control centers, and thus we created SIP 12-1. Then came FERC Order 843 with a directive to make some changes in regard to third-party TCAs. And so we took care of that. In addition to these orders, our SAR also included addressing a list of issues from V5 implementations, known as the V5 tag items. One, quote, small item on that list was to address virtualization of machines and storage and networks. And another item was IRA, Interactive Remote Access, clarifications to serial devices. Another was Transmission Owner Control Center criteria. And another was Super ESPs. Then some additional SIP exceptional circumstances were added to the SAR, and we took care of those. And along the way, we've worked with another SDT to post some changes to SIP2's IROL criteria. We've handled an RFI, and we've had an on-hold year as another SDT met a deadline in which we did several topical webinars and white papers on virtualization issues. And so it has been a long, but a very busy road. That gets us to today as we finish up the items in our SAR. And the first big item is virtualization. It's one item in that one list, but a big one, because all of SIP is built on the cyber asset definition, a programmable electronic device, and the hardware, the software, and the data in the device. Virtualization fundamentally breaks that paradigm of a self-contained device, and we've been addressing that while still working hard to maintain compatibility with current terms and current requirements. Now, our ballot results on our last posting that included all but two of the SIP standards had all passing, meaning in the 80 to high 90% approval range, except for SIP 10, which was close to 50%, and SIP 5 missing that two-thirds approval rating by less than 1%. And so if you've followed our meetings since then, you know we've spent a good bit of time listening to what your comments told us. We've been wrestling with some tough issues from those comments, and we've made changes based on your comments. And our hope is that we've hit the sweet spot. So now a quick high-level reminder about what our virtualization work is trying to accomplish overall. I mean, entities have had virtualized SIP systems for years and years. So what is this all about? Well, aside from some clarity, we are enabling certain features and benefits of virtualized systems and changing certain requirements so as not to hamstring those benefits. Get out of the way of better and different ways to accomplish the objectives while addressing the new risks that do come with it. So we are defining VCA, Virtual Cyber Asset, which is a new non-hardware-based form, so that instances of an OS or VM are clear targets of security requirements and not just software or data in the device. We are defining SCI, Shared Cyber Infrastructure. Imagine for a moment a network diagram, and it has a BCS protected by an ESP and an EAP, and there's another system outside that ESP. That system outside the firewall, the EAP, is not a PCA. Now imagine you zoom out on that diagram just a bit and you see that it's virtual infrastructure. The systems, the EAP, the networks, they're all virtual. And they're on hypervisors, on shared hardware infrastructure, the underlay, the SCI. Should the classification of that system outside the ESP firewall change? It's the exact same systems, the same firewall, the same exact firewall rules. All of it is just running in an infrastructure as a service model to reap the reliability and recovery benefits. And so we're clarifying this, and we're adding two requirements to address two unique risks, SIP 7 R1.3 and Affinity, to keep the systems that are within the ESP from sharing CPU and memory simultaneously with systems not in the ESP. So there's no access through hardware vulnerabilities rather than network. So if you configured it not to share CPU and memory resources simultaneously, that system outside can remain not a PCA. If they do share CPU and memory resources, that outside the system does become a PCA of the one inside the ESP. And so PCA is expanded to mean you're sharing resources, either by being on the same local network or by sharing CPU or memory simultaneously with a best cyber system. And secondly, we restrict access to the management interfaces that configure all of this infrastructure as a service. Or you just ignore the SCI path and do what we call all in. If I run a BCS on this infrastructure, then I treat all of it, the hardware and everything, is treated either the same or as an associated PCA. So, monolithic or granular? It's entity choice. We're updating and upgrading SIP 10R1 in particular to get out of the way of technologies like automated remediation, parent-child images, and dynamic orchestration of application containers. Let's take that last one, containers, as an example. Containers are designed to break the paradigm of installing an app in a specific OS instance. They are designed to be dynamic, running across dynamic nodes managed by an orchestrator. And so the apps and the ports they open that are running on a particular OS instance, they may be one thing now and something else an hour from now. As another example, in a virtual desktop infrastructure, I may have a gold parent desktop image that I'm managing. But from that come hundreds of individual child VCAs that are spawned for remote access sessions that have a lifetime that may be measured in hours. So the security objective of SIP 10R1 is not show me the nice static baseline config for that VCA that lived for an hour and prove that any changes to it were updated within 35 days. Or the nice static list of apps that may change every time an orchestrator spawns a new instance of an application container on a new node. But the focus is authorizing and managing change. Somewhere, some person is going to tell this automation what to do. Focus on that. You know, as I was thinking about all of this, I said to myself, our nickname really should not be the virtualization SDT. It should be the dynamic environment SDT. We are incorporating a far more dynamic environment into standards that assume static configurations. I think that's just one bottom line way to think about what we're doing here. Now, we're also updating SIP 5 to get out of the way of newer models for network security, namely Zero Trust, which is headed towards not making security decisions based on where you sit on a network, you know, things like IP address and port numbers, but security decisions at the resource based on who a person or process is, how they authenticated, the state of their client, managing access to a service, not simply a server. Going beyond, these two IP addresses can talk on this port number to this person can talk to that historian's service, and only that service, wherever either are on the network at the moment. So that's the promise, it's the goal, and as this becomes more and more to fruition, we want SIP to be proactive and ready, not reactive. And so we're making modifications to ESP, EAP definitions, and to SIP 5 to clearly enable this, while being compatible with current state. We don't want, for example, is as you can or are moving to this type of technology, for SIP to be telling you and your auditor, you must go to the border surrounding a network. And there is where you must judge adequate access control. In addition to these virtualization enhancements, we're also addressing the other V5 tag issues, like super ESPs, by requiring network encryption when a single ESP needs to span more than one location. For instance, so VCAs can move seamlessly between different data centers. All of these things we've talked about enable more reliability and resiliency for these critical systems, and better ways to secure them. The other larger change from the VTAG list is clarifying IRA to serial devices, where the best cyber asset is not connected directly to a network with a routable protocol, but it has a serial port. And that serial cable may be a few feet long and then goes into an IP to serial gateway that can be accessed from anywhere in the world. So we're making it clear that you can have interactive remote access to a serial best cyber asset or best cyber system. And if IRA is allowed, that the IP side of that gets the SIP5R2 controls. So from 50,000 feet, that's what we're up to. Add a bit of clarity to some existing scenarios, but mostly a good bit of proactive work to make SIP ready for the future, that as some are seeing is becoming our now. We've heard some of your struggles out there with certain things that you can't take advantage of yet that would benefit you, could benefit reliability and security. And we've heard from some of you your struggles with new things like containers that are beginning to affect our world. And it's our hope that this draft will help you. And thank you very much.